The 4th century, paragraphs 41 through 50. Number 41. Having these principles, nothing was more easy than to enjoy the world, which, being enjoyed, he had nothing more to do than to spend his life in praises and thanksgivings, all his care being to be sensible of God's mercies and to behave himself as the friend of God in the universe. If anything were amiss, he still would have recourse to his own heart and found nothing but that out of frame, by restoring which all things were rectified and made delightful. As much as that had swerved from the rule of justice, equity, and right, so far was he miserable, and no more so that by experience he found the words of the wise man true and worthy of all acceptation. In all thy keeping, keep thy heart, for out of it core the issues of life and death. Number 42. One thing he saw, which is not commonly discerned, and that is that God made man a free agent for his own advantage, and left him in the hand of his own counsel, that he might be the more glorious. It is hard to conceive how much this tended to his satisfaction. For all the things in heaven and earth being so beautiful and made, as it were, on purpose for his own enjoyment, he infinitely admired God's wisdom, in that it salved his and all men's exigencies, in which it fully answered his desires. For his desire was that all men should be happy as well as he, and he admired his goodness, which had enjoined no other duty than what pertained to the more convenient fruition of the world which he had given, and at the marvelous excellency of his love in committing that duty to the sons of men to be performed freely. For thereby he adventured such a power into the hands of his creatures, which angels and cherubims wonder at, and which, when it is understood, all eternity will admire the bounty of giving. For he thereby committed to their hands a power to do that which he infinitely hated, which nothing certainly could move him to entrust them with, but some infinite benefit which might be attained thereby. What that was, if you desire to know, it was the excellency, dignity, and exaltation of his creature. Number 43. O adorable and eternal God, hast thou made me a free agent, and enabled me, if I please, to offend thee infinitely? What other end couldst thou intend by this, but that I might please thee infinitely? That having the power of pleasing or displeasing, I might be the friend of God. Of all exaltations in all worlds, this is the greatest. To make a world for me was much, to prepare eternal joys for me was more. But to give me a power to displease thee, or to set a sin before thy face, which thou infinitely hatest, to profane eternity, or to defile thy works, is more stupendous than all these. What other couldst thou intend by it, but that I might infinitely please thee, and having the power of pleasing or displeasing, might please thee in myself infinitely, in being pleasing? Hereby thou hast prepared a new fountain and torrent of joy greater than all that went before, seated us in the throne of God, made us thy companions, endued us with a power most dreadful to ourselves, that we might live in sublime and incomprehensible blessedness forevermore. For the satisfaction of our goodness is the most sovereign delight of which we are capable. And that by our own actions we should be well pleasing to thee is the greatest felicity nature can contain. O thou who art infinitely delightful to the sons of men, make me and the sons of men infinitely delightful unto thee. Replenish our actions with amiableness and beauty, that they may be answerable to thine, and like unto thine in sweetness and value, that as thou in all thy works art pleasing to us, we in all our works may be so to thee. Our own actions as they are pleasing to thee, being an offspring of pleasures sweeter than all. Number 44. This he thought a principle at the bottom of nature, that whatsoever satisfied the goodness of nature was the greatest treasure. Certainly men therefore err, because they know not this principle. For all inclinations and desires in the soul flow from and tend to the satisfaction of goodness. 'Tis strange that an excess of goodness should be the fountain of all evil. An ambition to please, a desire to gratify, a great desire to delight others, being the greatest snare in the world. Hence it is that all hypocrisies and honors arise, I mean esteem of honors. Hence all imitations of human customs, hence all compliances and submissions to the vanities and errors of this world. For men being mistaken in the nature of felicity, and we, by a strong inclination, prone to please them, follow a multitude to do evil. We naturally desire to approve ourselves to them, and above all things covet to be excellent, to be greatly beloved, to be esteemed and magnified, and therefore endeavor what they endeavor, prize what they prize, magnify what they desire what they magnify, ever doing that which will render us accepted to them, and coveting that which they admire and praise, that we so might be delightful. And the more there are that delight in us, the more great and happy we account ourselves. Number 45. This principle of nature, when you remove the rust it has contracted by corruption, is pure gold, and the most orient jewel that shines in man. Few consider it either in itself or in the design of the implanter. No man doubts but it is blessed to receive, to be made as glorious creature, and to have worlds given to one is excellent. But to be a glorious creature and to give is a blessedness unknown. It is a kind of paradox in our Savior, and not, as we read of, revealed upon earth, but to St. Paul from heaven. It is more blessed to active than to receive. It is a blessedness too high to be understood. To give is the happiness of God, to receive of man. But oh, the mystery of his loving kindness, even that also hath he imparted to us. Will you that I ascend higher? In giving us himself, in giving us the world, in giving us our souls and bodies, he hath done much, but all this had been nothing unless he had given us a power to have given him, ourselves, in which is contained the greatest pleasure and honor. We love ourselves earnestly, and therefore rejoice to have palaces and kingdoms. But when we have these, yea, haven and earth, yea, heaven and earth, unless we can be delightful and joyous to others, they will be of no value. One soul to whom we may be pleasing is of greater worth than all dead things. Some unsearchable good lies in this, without which the other is but a vile and desolate estate. So that to have all worlds, with a certain sense that they are infinitely beautiful and rich and glorious, is miserable vanity, and leaves us forlorn, if all things are dead, or if ourselves are not divine and illustrious creatures. Number 46. Oh, the superlative bounty of God, where all power seems to cease, he proceeds in goodness, and is wholly infinite, unsearchable, and endless. He seems to have made as many things depend upon man's liberty as his own. When all that could be wrought by the use of his own liberty were attained, by man's liberty he attained more. This is incredible, but experience will make it plain. By his own liberty he could but create worlds and give himself to creatures, make images, and endow them with faculties, or seat them in glory. But to see them obedient, or to enjoy the pleasure of their amity and praises, to make them fountains of actions like his own, without which, indeed, they could not be glorious, or to enjoy the beauty of their free imitation, this could by no means be without the liberty of his creatures intervening. Nor, indeed, could the world be glorious, or they blessed, without this attainment. For can the world be glorious unless it be useful? And to what use could the world serve him if it served not those that in this were supremely glorious, that they could obey and admire and love and praise and imitate their Creator? Would it be wholly useless without such creatures? In creating liberty, therefore, and giving it to his creatures, he glorified all things, himself, his work, and the subjects of his kingdom. Number 47. You may feel in yourself how conducive this is to your highest happiness. For that you should be exalted to the fruition of worlds, and in the midst of innumerable, most glorious creatures, be vile and ungrateful, injurious and dishonorable, hateful and evil, is the greatest misery and dissatisfaction imaginable. But to be the joy and delight of innumerable thousands, to be admired as the similitude of God, to be amiable and honorable, to be an illustrious and beautiful creature, to be a blessing, oh, the good we perceive in this! Oh, the suavity! Oh, the contentation! Oh, the infinite and unspeakable pleasure! Then indeed we reign and triumph when we are delighted in. Then are we blessed when we are a blessing. When all the world is at peace with us and takes pleasure in us, when our actions are delightful and our persons lovely, when our spirits amiable and our affections inestimable, then are we exalted to the throne of glory. For things, when they are useful, are most glorious, and it is impossible for you or me to be useful but as we are delightful to God and His attendants. And that the head of the world, or the end for which all worlds were made, should be useless, as it is in proportion to the glory of the means and methods of His exaltation, so it is the reproach of His nature and the utter undoing of all His glory. It is inproportionable to the beauty of His ways who made the world and to the expectation of His creatures. Number 48. By this you may see that the works or actions flowing from your own liberty are of greater concernment to you than all that could possibly happen besides, and that it is more to your happiness what you are than what you enjoy. Should God give Himself and all worlds to you, and you refuse them, it would be to no purpose. Should He love you and magnify you, should He give His Son to die for you and command all angels and men to love you, should He exalt you in His throne and give you dominion over all His works, and you neglect them, it would be to no purpose. Should He make you in His image and employ all His wisdom and power to fill eternity with treasures, and you despise them, it would be in vain. In all these things you have to do, and therefore your actions are great and magnificent, being of infinite importance in all eyes, while all creatures stand in expectation what will be the result of your liberty. Your exterior works are little in comparison of these, and God infinitely desires you should demean yourself wisely in these affairs, that is, rightly, esteeming and receiving what He gives with veneration and joy and infinite thanksgiving. Many other works there are, but this is the great work of all works to be performed. Consider whether more depends upon God's love to you or your love to Him. From His love all the things in heaven and earth flow unto you, but if you love neither Him nor them, you bereave yourself of all and make them infinitely evil and hurtful to you. So that upon your love naturally depends your own excellency and the enjoyment of His. It is by your love that you enjoy all His delights and are delightful to Him. Number 49. It is very observable by what small principles infusing them in the beginning God attaineth infinite ends. By infusing the principle of self-love, He both made a creature capable of enjoying all worlds. To whom, did He not love Himself, nothing could be given. By infusing grateful principles and inclinations to thanksgiving, He hath made the creature capable of more than all worlds, yea, of more than enjoying the Deity in a simple way, though we should suppose it to be infinite. For to enjoy God as the fountain of infinite treasures and as the giver of all is infinite pleasure. But He, by His wisdom, infusing grateful principles, hath made us upon the very account of self-love to love Him more than ourselves. And us, who without self-love could not be pleased at all, even as we love ourselves, He has so infinitely pleased, that we are able to rejoice in Him and to love Him more than ourselves. And by loving Him more than ourselves, in very gratitude and honor, to take more pleasure in His felicity than in our own, by which way we best enjoy Him, to see His wisdom, goodness, and power employed in creating all worlds for our enjoyment, and infinitely magnified in beautifying them for us, and governing them for us, satisfies our self-love. But withal, it so obliges us that in love to Him, which it creates in us, it makes us more to delight in those attributes as they are His, than as they are our own. And the truth is, without this, we could not fully delight in them, for the most excellent and glorious effect of all had been unachieved. But now there is an infinite union between him and us, he being infinitely delightful to us, and we to him. For he infinitely delights to see creatures act upon such illustrious and eternal principles, in a manner so divine, heroic, and most truly blessed, and we delight in seeing him giving us the power. Number 50. That I am to receive all the things in heaven and earth is a principle not to be slighted. That in receiving I am to behave myself in a divine and illustrious manner is equally glorious. That God and all eternity are mine is surely considerable. That I am his is more. How ought I to adorn myself, who am made for his enjoyment? If man's heart be a rock of stone, these things ought to be engraven in it with a pen of a diamond, and every letter to be filled up with gold, that it may eternally shine in him and before him. Wherever we are living, whatever we are doing, these things ought always to be felt within him. Above all trades, above all occupations, this is most sublime. This is the greatest of all affairs. Whatever else we do, it is only in order to this end that we may live conveniently to enjoy the world and God within it, which is the sovereign employment, including and crowning all, the celestial life of a glorious creature, without which all other estates are servile and impertinent.